The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 16th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. And you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. A beautiful day in the Auburn Opelika area, and so much to talk about as the transfer portal is wide open and Auburn is fully up in it now. Auburn football, that is, has decided and really has started to make some serious waves in the transfer portal. Auburn now has a quarterback. Auburn has somebody to protect that quarterback, and they've got some guys to defend some passes on the opposite side of the football. So we're talking all things portal today. Plus, we need to recap what was a very busy weekend in college basketball, where your Auburn Tigers got it done again in Atlanta, dominating Ohio State from the opening tip. We'll talk about that, plus a whole lot more here on the Monday edition of On the Line. And I am not alone, as this guy is with me every Monday and Friday. He's wild. He's crazy. He's your favorite, Uncle Tebow, my man. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Beautiful Monday afternoon here on the Plains. Give us a ring, 334-321-1390. Give us a shout here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. And we've got a bevy of things and subjects to talk about. College football playoffs will start up this weekend. Bowl season really cranks in. Basketball is in full swing now. College basketball, Auburn absolutely dominating Ohio State. One of, not just in basketball, but Jacob, in my lifetime as an Auburn fan since 1982, one of the most dominating performances, dismantling a high-quality opponent I've ever seen Auburn have happen for them. Just unreal. It was unreal basketball. The transfer portal, you said it, is wide open. Auburn gets its man at quarterback on Saturday, at least we think so, in Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma. And I'm okay with it. I think it's a pretty good get for Auburn. Losing Walker White and some other names popping into the portal, maybe for good, maybe for not. So there is a lot to discuss, my friend.
Yeah, and I think it's appropriate, only appropriate, for us to mention the news that most people have seen at this point, news that began to make its way around last night and confirmed this morning. The longtime Auburn football chaplain, Chet Williams, who has been on the Plains for over two decades, a guy that has touched the lives of, I would be willing to say, thousands. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. Thousands and thousands of people that Chet Williams was a part of their life, was a huge part in Auburn football. And Brother Chet is what everybody referred to him as the team chaplain for Auburn for, again, over 20-something years on the Plains. He tragically passed away this weekend with an accident at Lake Martin. And so we just say how sad of a situation this is, and condolences to him and his family, and how it makes you just value life, man. I mean, it you can already tell, Uncle T-Bone, just from all the former players and coaches who have shared on social media what Chet Williams meant to, what Brother Chet meant to the people that came through this place. I mean, he was a legend for Auburn, and somebody that you're not going to hear on a daily basis, a weekly basis, monthly, or maybe even a yearly basis. There's probably a lot of people that didn't know who he was, but I promise you there were a lot of people that did. And this was, I mean, this is heartbreaking, heartbreaking news.
Yeah, heartbroken is a good way to put it for the Auburn family. This news started leaking out yesterday evening that there had been an accident on Lake Martin. And then I got the word pretty early this morning that Brother Chet Williams was the unfortunate person that had been involved in the accident and lost his life. And he's a remarkable man. And pretty much the architect of the 2004 Hard-Fighting Soldiers theme. That was a national movement. It's at one point.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday, although it was 20 years ago. What a fantastic story that entire season was for Auburn. Brother Chet was deep in the weeds in that football team, and his ministries were deep in the weeds and leading a lot of people in the Auburn family, not just football team, but family, to a better relationship with the Lord. So he will be greatly missed. And, man, it's just life is precious, folks. You know, one moment you're on top of the world, and one moment, you know, it can all end. So every day is a gift, and boy, man, just a terrible tragedy.
Yeah, we move on today with a heavy heart again for Brother Chet Williams passing away with an accident on Lake Martin. He is definitely going to be missed around this area. And so you do look, though, Uncle T, at what Auburn did this weekend in the transfer portal, the thing that is sweeping every news outlet, every radio show, every article, anything you can get your eyes and ears on. It's all about the transfer portal. And I do think there needs to be another conversation and many more conversations about what the calendar looks like and the broken system that we're operating in, because some teams are taking advantage of it and other teams are unable to take advantage of it because of bowl games or the playoff or holidays or whatever the case may be. And we've continued to say that Auburn in particular, if there is a bright side to the situation they're in by not being in a bowl game this year, having another losing season on the plains, is you've been able to hit the portal early and often, and that's what Auburn has done. And there's no better place to start than what I think is the quarterback, the starting quarterback in 2025, Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma. It's no secret this is the guy that I wanted. This is the guy that I thought was the best available so far in the portal, even though Malik Murphy was there from Duke. Both of the quarterbacks visited, and it is official. Jackson Arnold is a quarterback at Auburn. Whether you think he starts in 2025, that's a part of the conversation we can have. But fact of the matter is, Auburn has lost several in the portal into graduation, and they've got one now with Jackson Arnold.
Yeah, former five-star recruit coming out of the state of Georgia, recruited to the University of Oklahoma primarily by offensive coordinator then Jeff Libby, who's the head coach at Mississippi State. A lot of people thought that he might follow his former coordinator.
There was a lot of smoke there.
To Starkville. But at the end of the day, he decided to come to Auburn, and kind of odd that Mississippi State lost Van Buren, their talented freshman, to LSU in the portal.
That's a great get
yesterday.
By them, by the way.
Absolutely.
That's a great get.
And so, boy, they're struggling over there in Starkville. Anyway.
You don't feel bad for them, though, do you?
I mean, they are a victim. They are one of the teams that are circled as going to be a victim of the ever-expanding and changing college
There's
football
no doubt.
World and dynamic.
Yeah, and I do hate that.
They do not have the resources to keep up.
They don't have the resources. They don't have the brand awareness. They don't have the I don't know, the word,
well,
I guess.
At the end of the day, that's probably one of the factors that put Auburn over the top. And along with NIL and what Auburn's been able to do with On the Victory. So there's a lot of weapons here for Jackson Arnold to work with if everyone stays. A few names continue to pop into the portal, possibly at Auburn. Amarius Williams is the defensive end and talented one. Big-time commitment last year that Auburn got on the edge for the Tigers defense. That's name is floated into the portal. A lot of people around Auburn seem to think Auburn's going to continue to recruit him and get him back out of the portal, but that's a very talented young Tiger that did not play a whole lot this season. And this is kind of the portal giveth, the portal taketh away type situation. And I'm with you. There's no doubt that the system is broken somehow, some way. And the calendar now with the extended playoff is just making it worse. on the timetable for the portal to open, because obviously people want to know who their quarterback's going to be and get them in here as quickly as possible, not just for the spring, but for winter workouts as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have to change something about this and make it just the window smaller, I think, after the college football playoffs. Because, I mean, you know, I guess it's like the old NFL draft. If your team's the worst, you get first pick of the litter the next year in the draft. And these teams that are in the college football playoffs right now aren't having a whole lot of luck.
You're getting punished for having a good year, though.
Exactly, and it's just ridiculous. And then another thing is that their time will open up, and at that point they will lose players as well.
Yeah.
Why not just do it all at one time, before the spring, after the spring? That's it. And move on. But it's just an ever-changing, moving target. The goalposts are continually changing in college football. And, listen, you just got to be able to roll with it and get your guys, and you're going to have to do it from year to year. Now, there's not much long-term planning with rosters anymore in college football.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of these playoff teams like Drew Aller and Penn State. He announced he's coming back, so they know who their quarterback's going to be. Nico's coming back at Tennessee. I mean, you've got some of these guys who are going to return, but I look at a team like an Indiana or a team like an SMU or Arizona State or whoever. I mean, what if some of their guys are graduating and some of them may just transfer anyway? I mean, by the time you make a run, it's going to be mid-January, and some of these guys are already going to be committed and they're leaving because the opportunity and the window for the players themselves is closing to go and find other programs. But for Auburn in particular, again, if you don't make the playoff, Uncle T, you ain't got to worry about it. If you don't make a bowl game, you're fine. Just have a losing record. You get your first pick at the NCAA transfer portal. That's what Auburn has done. And again, Jackson Arnold is the big, big news from over the weekend. Look, I really like this kid. I do. I'm a big Jackson Arnold fan. I think he got a bad rep, a bad taste, an unfair shot, which, look, I always say fair's in August, but he played in a team and a system that was depleted. Depleted. I mean, so injury-ridden, and yet they were still a better team than Auburn by the end of the day, based off of on-field results and the end-of-the-year record. They were still a better team than Auburn. And that quarterback is now coming to Auburn, which I know they had several, you know, multiple quarterbacks that they played and whatever, but I think Jackson Arnold's ceiling is really, really high. I think you bring him in and you build confidence, you get some really elite players around him, and you put an offensive line in front of him that is actually going to protect the quarterback and pass pro, then you're going to be okay. And we knew there were two big positions this past season that Auburn struggled with mightily on the offensive side of the football. What was it? It was quarterback, and it was offensive line. If Auburn wasn't running the ball, the offensive line was terrible. I'm sorry, it just was. One of the best running offensive lines, run-blocking offensive lines in the SEC. Top five, I would say. But I would put it at bottom five in pass pro. I mean, it was bad at times. And we put a lot of that on Peyton Thorne for making bad decisions and taking sacks and not making plays. But there were several times where he just had no time and no help. Auburn has since changed that, especially with what I think is the second best get so far for Auburn in the portal with Xavier Chaplin, 6'7", 323 pounds, the offensive tackle from Virginia Tech. What a get for Auburn in the portal, a guy that will step in and start day one.
I seem to remember some people telling me the same thing about Percy Lewis last year from Mississippi State, Jacob.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I will have to be in. I'm with you on Jackson Arnold. I think the ceiling is as high as anyone quarterback-wise in the portal. I do not think that he was Auburn's first choice, and I don't mean Malik Murphy was. I do think that there were some players that – and this is how this thing goes now, folks. Players have agents too, even on college campuses, and they want to know what they're worth, so they just kind of tell their people to put their name out in the portal even though they're still on a team, and they kind of get feedback from other schools. And I think there was more than one player out there that Auburn and other schools was giving feedback to that's on a current roster in conference and out.
At the quarterback spot.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And those quarterbacks got their number and went back to their people, and their people said, we'll match it, and then some.
It's a true bidding war at this point.
And then, so at that point, those people stay, and you know, Jackson Arnold becomes available, and so does Malik Murphy, and you got to move pretty quickly then because you don't have time to dilly-dally around and them commit somewhere else and take an offer from somebody else, and then you're stuck with having to start Duke Snider or Walker White, very inexperienced quarterbacks, because everyone else is left, or you got to go get somebody that you really aren't that excited about in the portal and hope they pan out and you can coach up. And we've already been down that road 2 years in a row. So, hey, and speaking of Deuce Knight, he went off this weekend in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game, named the MVP despite Mississippi losing to Alabama in that game. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But let me tell you, Jacob, one thing that I see. The system is obviously broken, and you mentioned it. What can you do to combat that system and make it to your advantage and out maneuver and scheme your competition off the field in the portal? And I really think that teams are just going to have to go, especially teams like Auburn. You know, you have 85 people on a team, right, or 85 scholarship players, and they're talking about expanding that. And I'm like, contract it. Man, you go out there and you continue to recruit lights out in high school, and if any of these people can play, you play them immediately, because if they sit on the bench, they're going to get with their people, and their people are going to get out into the portal and see how much they're worth. And if you don't feel like matching it, they gone.
Yeah.
You're going to have to start looking at this more like what UNC is going to do with Bill Belichick as a pro model. 55, 60 players, you pay them out the wazoo, two deep. You're playing them. It's a competition week in, week out. Those guys are playing on special teams too. And you're just going to have to make a huge investment in a smaller amount of players instead of taking it the old way and trying to stack talent, because that talent ain't going to stick around, buddy.
At this point, I mean, college football is pay to win. Pay to compete, I'll say. How about that? Pay to compete, which is what you do at the professional level. That I've said it several times, these are not college football programs. These are college football organizations,
right,
that have legitimate general managers, owners, and people that are put in place to make it run like a train, like an automobile, like a plane. I mean, they make it run like a machine. And that's what you have to do. And hearing some of the numbers that are floating around for what Auburn has already paid in the transfer portal for a guy like Jackson Arnold, or even for a guy on the offensive line like Xavier Chaplin, the numbers I heard, I have no full confirmation, but the numbers, remember we were talking late last week about somebody needs to start paying offensive linemen, Auburn did. Auburn paid this guy.
If there's an offensive lineman that you think is going to come in and start, you're going to have to buck up and get them, because I just don't think the majority of the offensive linemen are worth the trouble in the portal any longer.
But listen to the stats on him, okay? Listen to what Chaplin did. In 300 snaps, passing snaps, 300, okay? In 2024, in 300 passing snaps, gave up 2 sacks, 0 quarterback hits, and 10 quarterback hurries in 300 snaps. Again, there's a sack is a sack. A hit is just when he gets hit after the throw, and hurries are to scramble out of the pocket. In 300 snaps, he gave up 2 total sacks all year. That's pretty impressive to me. And some people would say, okay, why is he leaving Virginia Tech? Because it's Virginia Tech, and they're terrible. They're a bad team. They're not where they need to be. Wouldn't you want to leave? Knowing what your value is, knowing that you can be probably one of the highest paid offensive linemen in college football, and go somewhere that's competitive. And whether Auburn's going to be competitive or not next year, we're going to find out. But paying a guy like this and getting a guy like this is crucial to that success. I want to talk more about this, plus the other transfer portal news we know so far, as we're just underway, off and running, here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Talking transfer portal as Auburn football was very active over the weekend and into today. We talked about, of course, Jackson Arnold, the Oklahoma transfer quarterback who has now committed and signed to Auburn. And with that news, right, came the news of Walker White, who announced his intent to enter the transfer portal. And Uncle T-Bone, I think that one was a little bit more surprising to some when it happened, right? And so now you've seen Hank Brown, Holden Garner, and Walker White have all entered the portal. So Auburn still has just the two. I mean, you've got Deuce Knight coming in and Jackson Arnold, two really good ones. And the fact that Auburn is using, and I'm not blaming them for using this, but the hype that they've built when Arnold came here is this is the highest rated quarterback room that Auburn has ever had, right? Based off of their high school rankings with Deuce Knight and Jackson Arnold, what he was. I mean, as exciting as that is, am I crazy to think it's almost kind of sad that it's 2024 going into 2025 and this is just now the highest? There was a highest one before, yes, but you get what I'm saying here? Like, the fact that this is what we're celebrating, that this is the highest it's ever been with two guys in the room. Two. And neither one of them have played a single snap at Auburn. One of them's a high school quarterback. The other one's a transfer. Like, that's what we're hyping up, is this is the most talented, highly rated room Auburn's ever had. And it's two dudes that have never even put on the Auburn helmet.
You got to have some coaching to go along with that talent, right?
I mean, you hope so.
Obviously, you have to have it. Auburn's had a lot of success as a football program in the history of college football, especially in my lifetime up until the last few years, which has been dismal. I mean, no matter how much talent you have, you got to be able to scheme, and you got to work hard, and you got to have some luck, and you got to have 100 other different factors to be successful from week in, week out, and consistently successful enough to compete for championships year in, year out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping to see Auburn get back to that, and I think it starts with some type of identity. You know, what's this team going to look like under Jackson Arnold led at quarterback? You know, well, the first thing I notice about him is he doesn't turn the ball over a ton. All right, that's a really good start for any quarterback at Auburn.
12-3 touchdown interception ratio this season.
You know, and then he can run the ball as well when he needs to, and when they plan to, like they did against Alabama this season, when Oklahoma destroyed the Tide in Norman 24-3 late in the season, basically costing Alabama a shot at the college football playoffs. You know, and obviously he's got a tremendous amount of talent, on paper at least, or he wouldn't be ranked a 5-star. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of positives here, but, you know, there were a lot of positives around Peyton Thorne. Remember, people are like, well, Uncle T, I mean, crying out loud, he played in the Big Ten and had a ridiculous amount of numbers. I mean, look at his stats and all that. Well, stats are one thing, but wins and losses are another, and we just didn't have a whole lot under him under center at quarterback coached by this staff. So, you know, you got to think it can't get worse, right? So, and I will say this, if you don't have a lot of talent, you know, and look at the teams year in, year out that continue to really and truly get after it in the college football playoffs, they're always about in the top 10 in recruiting year in, year out. So I'm not just trying to poo-poo on talent. You got to have everything. And it all has to synergize to be successful in today's college football world. And that's a hard thing to do when it's an ever-changing, when the only consistent thing in college football is change itself.
Look, I mean, Auburn's been burned several times on transfers, quarterbacks, offensive linemen, receivers, you name it. I mean, they've been burned. And Auburn has lost some good ones already. We'll continue it after the break. But look at Jackson Arnold. Look at their losses this year. The loss to LSU in the season finale, sacked 4 times. Lost to Missouri, sacked 3 times. Listen to these numbers. You ready for this? In back-to-back games against South Carolina and Ole Miss, Jackson Arnold was sacked 16 times in 2 games. 8 in both of those games.
Did he play the whole game against South Carolina?
He went 18 of 36 against South Carolina.
Yeah, I think that they started the other guy and had to yank him.
Got sacked 8 times in each one of those games.
Good grief.
You're not going to win any game if you get sacked 8 times. Absolutely not. Good news is Auburn has added Jackson Arnold. They've added the offensive lineman, a running back, and some guys on defense as well. But they've lost some, too. We'll talk about that. We continue with the portal as the phone lines open up. Give us a call,
334-321-1390. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz. On ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Phone lines are now open. We'd love to hear from you here on the show, 334-321-1390. You can always shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Your thoughts on the Auburn football additions in the transfer portal or the Auburn football losses in the transfer portal, 334-321-1390. Other names that we need to talk about, Uncle T-Bone, of course, Jackson Arnold is now here. Auburn picked up a punter this weekend, the Oklahoma State punter, Hudson. He is now 6'2", 215. He is now coming in as a new punter for Auburn, so can't complain on that. I mean, Auburn special teams this year went backwards for basically all season, and so
yeah, they were awful this year.
It was rough, and it's one of those things that we talk about where you're not going to show it a whole lot of love because you expect them to do their job, but the minute they don't do their job, they get all the hate in the world. And it's true. It's right. I mean, am
it's
I wrong?
Kind of like Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports.
We'll have him back on for the Super
everyone,
Bowl.
Everyone remembers only as losers.
Yeah. They don't talk
like
about
the second half of the season, Lee.
They don't talk about the winning streaks he went on, do they? Auburn also brings in a running back to the room that I think they desperately needed. Darrell Robinson, the UConn running back, a guy that had started to pick up some momentum in the first couple of days that he was in the portal. Now, people are going to look at him and say, 6'1", 200, okay. They're going to look at him as a three-star in high school. Okay. The kid can play. I mean, go look at what he was able to do this year. Darrell Robinson is a great pickup in the running back room, one that Auburn, again, they needed just for numbers, if nothing else. But I think he's going to make a legitimate contribution to this running back room. I really do. I think he's that good.
Can he catch the ball out of the backfield?
Yeah.
That's a good place to start, I guess, if there's a quarterback that'll get it to him. Yeah, I mean, listen, Auburn's going to carry – they carried four running backs for a long time. They want to carry four, so hopefully nobody will leave. I'm going to be really ticked off if Jeremiah Cobb gets in the portal. I think this kid has a ridiculous amount of upside and has not been fed the ball enough. So it's time for him to step up and show what he's all about, the four-star, former four-star out of Catholic in Montgomery. I mean, he had some moments this season. When he got the ball, he ran with some power. Kind of reminds me of Ronnie Brown.
Darrell Robinson had 731 yards and 8 touchdowns this year for UConn. Had 2 games with over 100 yards, a couple of more games that flirted with it. One game he ran for 132, another one he ran for 156. I mean, the kid can play. If you get an offensive line like Auburn had this year, and if Auburn, I don't know, decides they want to run the football, he can do it. And he's not going to be RB1. I still think that's Damari's job to lose. But any depth that you can get in there is phenomenal. And so Auburn brings Darrell Robinson in. Again, the punter is in. You saw the news about Walker White. I think that one, again, was one that kind of shocked some Auburn fans. And you hate to see it. I mean, he was such a highly rated kid coming out of Arkansas and one that loved Auburn. I mean, a guy that loved Auburn and wanted it to be great here, wanted himself to be great here, and it just didn't happen. And I think for a guy like him, Uncle T, you can agree or disagree, I think he probably just saw the writing on the wall, right? I mean, he saw it's like, all right, well, I was here, didn't get much playing time. Now they're bringing in Deuce Knight through the high school rankings. Now they just went and got Jackson Arnold. I just don't think he was going to see the light of day in the orange and blue, and I hate it for him because, again, it was somebody that was very outspoken about how much he loved Auburn and how much he wanted to be here.
Yeah, big kid, good-looking kid, very athletic.
Can throw a good ball.
Yeah. I think inconsistency on where that ball lands was his biggest problem. That's something that coaching and development normally should take care of. I mean, I don't see him leaving Auburn and going to start at a Power Four school, do you?
I mean, I think he's going to make some team very happy. I think he could be. I think he could one day.
No,
I think
he could go. Next year?
No, not next year.
That's why it's kind of shocking to me, unless there's something that we don't know about off the field that he's having to deal with, and I'm not saying there is, but I mean, I would, you know, my thoughts were stay here and give it another year and develop and then step out if you see the handwriting on the wall. I mean, I just kind of a little surprised by that one. I mean, it's not like he's going to go to Kansas State and be their starting QB next year.
No, but I think he could go to a Group of Five type of school and go and light it up and then get back into Power Four football. I think that may be what he wants to do, and if he can, more power to him. We talked about Xavier Chaplin, the offensive tackle that Auburn brought in from Virginia Tech. I think it's the second best transfer they've been able to bring in so far. And today has been very busy for Auburn in just the last, I don't know, hour or two that since before we came on the air. Auburn has supposedly lost an edge, a really good edge, a freshman edge that I think was going to be a very talented and very important player on the defensive side of the football next year. Amaris Williams, 6'2", 253, has there was reported that he was entering the portal, but there seems to be some floating around that Auburn is not letting him go easily, that Auburn is trying to fight for Amaris Williams to hang around and stay on the Plains. And I think that's a smart move, man. If they can get him to stay, that's a big, big win. And look, I don't know all the ins and outs of this. It just happened a couple of hours ago. And you know me, I'm not going to get on a board and let some joker behind a screen tell me what they think about it. But it just doesn't, this is one of those situations where it just doesn't sit right with me, where I've decided I'm going to enter the portal because I want to go seek a better opportunity, more playing time, more money, I'm not happy here, whatever. Oh, but you're still interested in me. You want to fight for me. Okay, well, show me what you got, right? Show me the money. Show me how many more snaps you can play me. Tell me why you can make me happy. Oh, okay, I'll stay War Eagle. Like, I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me to where I feel like once you've made that decision, you're done, right? You're done. Go move on and do what you want to do. And the way that I always put this into normal human terms is think about it like a relationship with your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. If one of them walks in from work and says, hey, I think we should break up, okay, well, then we should probably break up. Why would I beg you to stay if you don't want to be here? And what can I say that's going to convince you that everything's okay and that it's just going to be fine and we're going to move on? Does that make sense? I mean, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me. But at the same time, right, in today's day and age, especially for Hugh Freeze with the hot seat he's sitting on, you can't afford to let good players like Amaris Williams walk out the door.
You better fight for every good player you can. And let me tell you what, I think it's more along the situation of a boyfriend or a girlfriend or somebody in a significant relationship with another one, and one of those people deciding, well, I'm going to get my friends to ask around and see if there's anybody out there a little bit better that might be interested in me. I mean, that's kind of
where... Yeah, but you make it public.
Yeah, and you make it public, and I guess that your significant others will be like, uh-uh, you're not... No, I am the best. You are going to stay here. And at some point, you know, people are just going to be like, whatever, bye.
Well, that's my... I mean, maybe, you know, that's goodbye. Just my personal decision. But it's like, if you don't want to be here, then go. If you don't want to be here, get out.
If you can get something better, there's the door. Goodbye.
Good luck. And if you find it, more power to you.
Because, quite frankly, you shop, we shop.
There you go. That's it right there.
And at some point, you're going to have to just stand up and do that. But, you know, if there is any kind of way of keeping someone this talented who was a big-time get in last year's recruiting class, you try and keep them. But you shouldn't break the bank to do it. I mean, this guy's proven nothing at Auburn right now. He's just a guy that was a four-star, borderline five-star recruit who was committed to Florida, and we flipped on signing day. That's it. I mean, what's he proven to say, well, okay, Amaris, I mean, what do you need, 650 to stay? Nah, I don't think so, pal.
Something just doesn't sit right with me where you have an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid who's got a football program on its knees in the palm of his hand. Because that's what this is. Maybe not even this situation in particular with Amaris Williams, just in general, right? There's a quarterback somewhere that walks in, and we've heard stories about this at Auburn and other places, where a player has walked in the door of their head coach's office, and we have plenty of people that listen to this show and this station that would have lived through the Pat Dye days and know that this would never happen back then, and I'm not trying to be that person, but just stick with me here. You have players nowadays that have so much confidence, that have been pumped so much info on the back end, that they can walk into the coach's office, sit down, kick their shoes up on the desk, and say, yeah, I'm going to leave if you don't pay me this. Oh, yeah, you better play me on every third down next season. Did you hear that situation in Florida? Yeah. How insane is that? But that's what's happening. And they are making head coaches drop to their knees and beg to keep guys around. That doesn't sit right with me. But guess what? If you're Hugh Freeze, I already said it and I'll say it again, you can't afford to lose good players. You have to win next year. And I think Amaris Williams could help you win next year. I think he's that good potentially on the defensive side of the ball. But me personally, I would rather go down with my pride and with guys that I want here and who want to be here rather than beg people who are using me for leverage to stay. I wouldn't do it. And maybe that's why I'd never be a good coach in nowadays. I don't know. But I'm not going to do it. You're not going to make me beg for you. That's just not right.
I mean, there's you're completely entitled to that type of personality in this game. I mean, there's probably 500 different ways to skin a cat right now in college football.
Sure.
And so I think what you have
to do. And nobody knows what's the right way.
That's it right there. We can all agree that the system's kind of broken or broken, but there's no one has a solution for it. And you're not going back to what it was. The toothpaste is out of the tube. You can't put it back in now. Players aren't going to do that. And the moment the NCAA tries to do that, they're going to get caught up in 4,000 lawsuits.
Yeah.
And then have to open up the books, you know, under testimony. They're not going to do that. So there's going to be a solution one day for all this, and it's going to be some type of organization standing up and saying, you know, we're in control. These are the rules. This is what you can do. And there's going to be a large group of people that get together and write those rules, and people are going to either abide by it or they're not going to be part of it.
So Auburn apparently, reportedly losing Amaris Williams on the edge position. While they have not replaced that, they did get two defenders today. This afternoon, right as we were coming on the air, Auburn picks up Rayon Strader, a corner from Miami of Ohio. They also pick up Tay Seymour, a safety from Georgia Tech. Seymour is interesting. He's played quite a few snaps at Georgia Tech. Still need to learn some more about him. Rayon Strader, on the other hand, this is a heck of a get, ladies and gentlemen. This is a heck of a get. I am a huge, huge fan of Rayon Strader. No, not just because he played in Ohio. This kid is actually really, really good. Listen to this. In two seasons at Miami of Ohio, had 23 pass breakups and 5 interceptions in his last two seasons. He had several Power 4 offers and schools that were coming after him, and he was doing that at that level in Group of 5 play. He's going to be a really good depth piece for Auburn in the secondary, a spot that you can never have enough talent. Auburn's going to have a lot of it, but Uncle T, they just went and got a safety and a corner today in the transfer portal.
You know, it's hard to complain about people leaving your program when you're taking other players from other programs, right? Somewhere there's some type of angry Georgia Tech fan right now and Miami of Ohio fan, right?
Yeah.
But it's just the world we live in. I mean, two good gets. I mean, you cannot have enough DBs in today's college football world. It's so pass heavy. You watch the 7-on-7s. They're not out there in the high school ranks running the ball in 7-on-7s. It's all about – it's almost a glorified flag football type situation. So you better be able to cover, and you better be able to have a bunch of people who cover, people light you up in today's college football world. So, yeah, I mean, all they're not done. I mean, how many people do you think Auburn will bring in out of the portal to be new faces on this team by the start of spring, and then even after spring, beginning in the summer workouts?
Let's see. Auburn currently, before we get to break, that brings Auburn up to, let's see, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, hold on. Never mind. I lost count. Well, regardless, they've brought in double digits so far, and they'll probably
New players. Well, you got Jackson Arnold.
You got Seymour. You got Strader. You got Seymour, Strader. You've got Chaplin. You've got the punter from Oklahoma State. You've got Darrell Robinson. You have Jackson Arnold. That is six. You've got
I count seven.
Yeah, maybe that is six or seven.
Right. They've lost double digits out of the pool.
I think they've lost like 13 or 14.
The majority
now.
Of those people, though, I mean, you know, quite frankly, probably needed to go.
And that's how some people
feel. And that is something about the portal that I agree with. I mean, if you get into a situation, you're overevaluated, whatever, and you're never going to get off the scout team, go play somewhere where you can play for the love of the game. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't just be stuck for life as a tackling dummy.
But every situation's different, too. That's what people don't realize. This is not a cookie cutter situation.
Right.
I mean, this is everybody's experience and situation is different.
Well, if you're from somewhere across the country and your mom or dad gets terminal cancer and you want to spend the next year with them at a university near them, you shouldn't have to sit out a year. So, I mean, some of the stuff that happens in these different situations, right, I mean, are just common sense. Some of them just seem to be taking a sledgehammer to trying to kill a fly. And that's what the NCAA did for years. Waiver denied. So I don't mind see them having to squirm anymore.
I'm with you on that. I'm absolutely with you on that. Okay, we got to take our final break in hour number one. We'll come back with a quick segment. We'll get into hour two. We got to talk some basketball because Auburn got another big win over the weekend. They remain at number two in the AP poll. We'll wrap up hour number one and get into hour number two after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Ugh, leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Tesnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text LION to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone-boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text LION to 321321. That's LION to 321321.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
By Thodge Custom Homes and Renovation, East Alabama's classic home builder. A woman-owned business founded in 2014, Mary and Ken Pilant founded By Thodge to maintain community charm while restoring classic homes in Auburn, Opelika. Whether it is a bathroom, kitchen retrofit, or that start-from-scratch custom build, no job or dream is too big or small for By Thodge. Now offering land management services through its sister company, Dirtworks LLC. Give them a call at 334-748-9699. By Thodge, East Alabama's classic home builder.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We've got a couple of more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line in hour number one. And, man, it's nearly impossible, Uncle T, to keep up with the transfer portal because there are new additions every couple of minutes. And you look at what 247 is saying so far. That's the site I use. You can use whichever one that you would like. And, I mean, you start looking at the rankings. Ole Miss is at the top. LSU is up there. We were talking about that earlier during the break. I mean, LSU is cleaning up in the transfer portal. They picked up the Mississippi State quarterback. Mm-hmm. They just picked up another corner. They've picked up a ton of dudes on the defensive side, right? But remember the conversations that always come around this time of year is you want to, in my opinion, you want to fill your needs with the transfer portal, but you don't want to fully build through the transfer portal. And I think that's where Ole Miss has fallen into a trap a time and time again is Lane Kiffin has loved the portal, right? He totally prides himself on being the portal king and having the best transfer portal class every single year. But yet Ole Miss can't win at a high level. They never won at a high level, especially with him. And it's because they can't build from the bottom and generate talent and mm-hmm. develop talent. So I think Auburn, to this point, has done a good job of filling some of the needs. Quarterback, offensive line, running back, secondary. Got a linebacker, would like to see some more. And they've done a good job at filling those gaps, but haven't been like, okay, we need three quarterbacks, two running backs, four offensive linemen, 17 receivers. You know what I mean? Like, you have it. You don't need to build an entire roster. Auburn has a defensive line, a wide receiver room. Decent linebackers need some more. A secondary that's solid, but you just rebuild. I mean, you're in a good position, and I think Auburn's done a good balancing act here so far.
I mean, the only thing that I think's lacking at Auburn are W's. You know?
Sure.
So, I mean, there's a lot of plug in place now, especially on that defensive side of the ball. I mean, the amount of young people that are on that defense contributing – and how well coached they are and what they've done for that team and how they kept Auburn in almost every game last season. Heck, really, the last couple of years. So, I mean, for the most part, I think the only thing after this transfer portal you'll see in the spring that Auburn is lacking are wins on the football field, and they better come quick.
I'll tell you a team that's not lacking in wins. It's Auburn basketball. They beat Ohio State this weekend. We'll talk about that coming up in hour number two, plus a whole lot more basketball conversation. Stick around, second hour coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
On the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can catch it with the podcast. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, we talked literally the transfer portal the entire hour for Auburn football with additions and subtractions and possibilities, right, as the transfer portal is still in full swing. And so we talked all of that in hour number one. So if you missed any of that, you can go back later on today, tomorrow, whenever you like, and catch it with the podcast at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, want to switch gears, talk a little basketball as the Tigers were in action this weekend. They're back in action tomorrow night. It's a quick turnaround for Auburn, where we'll talk about that. Plus, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network is with us today. We'll talk to him about the portal, talk to him about basketball, all the updates around Auburn athletics, and all the broadcast info that you need for the next several weeks for the Auburn Sports Network as well. Phone lines are open here in hour number two. You can be a part of the discussion, talking a little basketball, 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number. You can give us a call on that, or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And before we get into content, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the second hour, 3 to 4 o'clock, each and every day here on ESPN. All right, Uncle T-Bone, let's talk about it. Auburn basketball went to Atlanta. I know you've had a chance to already talk about this a little bit with the first After the Game show. You and Jack did a fantastic job over on Wings 94.3. That is going to be following Saturday games this season. You'll have one another.
We'll have one this Saturday after Purdue. Comes on about 30 minutes after the game ends, approximately.
Yep.
And then every Saturday in January and February, and then a couple in March. So we'll have one more this month over on Wings 94.3. We had a great time. The hour flew by, and it's easy to it flies by when you're having fun, right?
I'm telling you.
And this past Saturday was a ton of fun. I'm going to put it to you like this. I know for a fact in my lifetime I've never seen an Auburn basketball team dismantle somebody of that quality of a caliber opponent ever. Okay? They just beat an Ohio State team that was one of the top three-point shooting teams in the country, ranked 28th in KenPom, almost by 50. And they would have beaten them by 50 had they not called the dogs out. I mean, there were times in that game Ohio State couldn't get the ball past the timeline on the Auburn side of the basketball court. The defense was absolutely relentless. Jani Broome completely dominated the basketball game. And this is the best Auburn basketball team I've ever seen, period. And hopefully they'll stay healthy and they'll get a little luck and make a deep run in the NCAA tournament this year, because if they don't, it would be a terribly missed shot. This team is rock solid. The competition's going to get tougher. That's hard to believe week in, week out, because the SEC is so tough and conference play begins, especially with that preseason schedule that Auburn's played. I call the first third of the season, when you're not in conference play, the preseason. Jacob, I don't know what else you can say about this basketball team other than, in my opinion, they're the number one team in the country and should be.
91-53 was the score. They beat Ohio State by nearly 40. You're right. It could have been a lot more, man. This Auburn team. Oh, look, I was there. I was in person there in Atlanta. Was able to cover the game for the Holiday Hoops Giving event. And it looked just as good in person as it did on TV or sounded on the radio. I mean, this team handled business from the opening jump. A team that went almost 6 minutes scoreless in the first half, they still put up 91 points and held Ohio State to just 53 in the ball game. That's an Ohio State team that you and I and Christian talked about on Friday. We were a little concerned with because of their good guard play. And don't let this game be one that just completely makes up your mind about Ohio State.
Oh, no.
They're still going to be a really good team and really competitive in the Big Ten. But Auburn flexed its muscles on Saturday. And look, what you said is not an overreaction, is not an exaggeration that this is the best Auburn basketball team that's ever been put together. I believe that. And look, I said preseason, this is the most talented team that Bruce Pearl has ever had. Not just Auburn, because that's a fact, that Bruce Pearl in his coaching history has ever had. And I think he knows it. And I think you can see it when they're on the floor, because they are just so good at every position in every aspect of the game. Listen to some of these team stats in comparison to what happened against Ohio State on Saturday. Auburn shot 46% from the floor. Ohio State shot 35%. Auburn shot 43% from downtown, 13 of 30. I don't love them shooting 33s, but when you make 43% of them, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Ohio State shot 37%. Auburn shot 85% from the free throw line. Ohio State shot 57%. Auburn out-rebounded Ohio State. Are you ready for this? 49-28.
For the majority of that game, Jani Broom out-rebounded Ohio State by himself.
He had a double-double twice.
Yeah, I mean, he had more rebounds than Ohio State deep into the second half.
Yeah.
Until kind of some players got some garbage time. I hate to call it that, but well-earned time.
There you go. Well-earned time.
Off the practice squad, and Ohio State still had its starters in.
They
18 assists, Jacob, to 7. 13 blocks to 4. I mean,
Auburn turned the ball over just 5 times in 40 minutes.
Jani Broom didn't even have one of them.
Yeah.
And he had the ball in his hand just about more than anybody in the whole game.
That's something we don't talk about enough with this team. They don't turn it over.
Oh, that's a good pathway to winning basketball games.
They don't turn it over, and they play great defense.
And here's a couple of things I noticed outside of the stat line about the team. If they drain a couple of threes on you early in the game, you better watch out. And they can go through slumps, and it doesn't matter. They went 5 minutes without scoring a basket in this game in the first half.
You'd never know it.
And almost scored 50. And when you have the following five guys on the court, Denver Jones, Miles Kelly, Jason Caldwell.
He might get out there on the floor.
I mean, he might as well get out there with him.
They'd make him look good.
Jani Broom, and who was the fifth one? Oh, and Chad Baker Mazar. When you have those five guys on the court, that is one of the longest, most athletic, intense defenses, rebounding machine teams I've ever seen in college basketball, and I mean it. They are relentless. And then you add in Pettiford off the bench, who's relentless, and everyone else and all the other dogs on that team. But when you have those five guys on the court, that looks very different than just about anything I've ever seen in Auburn basketball history.
That's Auburn's starting five with Jani, Dillon, Chad, Denver, and Miles. That's their starting five, where you then bring Chaney, Ja'Kai, Chris, and Tahad off the bench. That's unbelievable. Chaney Johnson is a starter at most SEC schools. Ja'Kai Howard, as the electric freshman that he is probably a starter at most SEC schools. Tahad Pettiford, with the elite point guard play that he has had to start this season, with 5 assists, 2 turnovers on Saturday, a perfect assist-to-turnover ratio for a point guard. He is probably a starter at most SEC schools. And they're coming off the bench for Auburn. That's what this team brings. That's what this team does. Intensity on defense, run in the transition game, and they can score from anywhere. They'll score in the paint. They'll score from outside. They'll score from the free throw line. They don't care. They're just that good. And we've had a couple of people text us here in the last several minutes, Uncle T-Bone. One says, never thought Auburn basketball would be boring because they're just so good. And that's what I was thinking on Saturday, sitting inside of State Farm Arena, I was like, it was exciting. Don't get me wrong. It was awesome to see. And I would rather it have it this way than the opposite way. But there was a time in the second half, you kind of just looked down at your watch and looked up at the scoreboard. And it's like, man, there's still 12 minutes left in this game. Auburn's been up by 35, 40 for the entire time.
I mean, I'm going to have to disagree. Whipping people never gets boring. Sorry. I mean, opening up a can. If they open up a can like that every game the rest of the year, I promise you it won't be boring when we're rolling Tumors Corner national champions.
Well, Clay from Montgomery says what Auburn did to Ohio State is illegal in 47 states. I think that's right.
They had to call out the DHR in Ohio because they got such a beating.
Jani Broom came out with 11:46 left in the game. Auburn scored 49 in the first half and had, the 6:47 scoreless segment. And did all of that with only 7 transition points. So just talked about how good they are in transition. They didn't even need it on Saturday. That is a huge difference this year. Half-court offense is very impressive. In that long scoreless section of the game, Auburn only gave up 6 points. That's the point I made to you guys on after the game when I was driving back from Atlanta. Was Auburn went scoreless in 6 minutes, but they only gave up 6 points. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They were so good defensively that they were able to overcome that. And to his point with the half-court offense, there are very few possessions where Auburn settles or takes a bad shot. Like, I can count on one hand in every game where I'm like, okay, that's a bad shot. That's not the shot we're looking for. And guess what? One of them's typically a Jani Broom 3 that most of the time he makes. He shoots it, and I'm like, no, no, no. And then he makes it. It's like, well, what do you do?
If you're going to give him an open look all day at the three-point line and keep your big down there, so be it. Because
he'll make it.
I mean, if he shoots 10 of those shots and hits 3, I'm good with it. You know, and don't let him get hot and all of a sudden you have to bring somebody out and then the rest of the hyenas get in on the feast.
Well, you saw him with the basketball in his hands on Saturday. He did some crazy things.
That part of his game has progressed and developed so well under Bruce Pearl, it's insane.
It's all up here as I point to my brain.
I mean, it's practice, 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 and he has practiced every aspect of his game. 3 years ago when he got here, you know, pretty much not a first or second rounder. You know, the next year coming out, people, he's probably a late second rounder, and Auburn talked him into staying. And he could be a top 10 pick. You know, and I mean, with his skills that he has developed and his ability to go to the left side with such fluency, it's when he gets that drop on someone, they cannot defend it.
No.
And almost automatic every single time, Jacob, right off the backboard, 2 points, right off the backboard, 2 points. Well, we're going to stay down. Okay, I'll just stay out here and shoot a 3. Okay, we're going to come out. Or we're going to run some pick and roll, or we're going to distribute the ball. He can handle the ball so well as a big man. It's almost like having a big man point guard out there, not going in transition, but in a half-court offense.
Well, look at last year to this year, which is what you're kind of doing, is just looking at the progression of Jani Broom, where last year he would try to do some of those things and would take a bad shot or would have it knocked away or would turn it over or get doubled and not know what to do. This year, he doesn't give you time to do that because he goes right around you, right through you, under you, or passes it out for a 3. And we've had the chance to talk to Jani, and we did on Saturday covering the game at State Farm. And somebody asked him about assisting his teammates and getting them involved. I mean, he had 6 assists as a big man after dropping 21 points and grabbing 20 boards. He still had 6 assists, led the team, by the way, in assists. And he just talked about how he enjoys watching his team succeed and being able to have the ability, knowing that a double is coming more times than not, to kick it out and find an open teammate. And I had the chance to ask him about him and Dylan Cardwell and their success together and how they cheer each other on. And they're best friends. They're brothers is what he said. And they complement each other so well. And you could see that on and off the floor. And one thing that I think is important to note here that we have for quite some time is how old this team is, right? Look at this team and how they are built. Chad Baker, senior. Jani Broome, senior. Dylan Cardwell, grad student. Chaney Johnson, senior. Denver Jones, senior. Chris Moore, fifth year. I mean,
15th year.
JP
He's been playing basketball a long time.
He's been playing a long time. JP Pegues, senior. Turtle Hudson, senior. Miles Kelly, senior. I mean, this is one of, if not the oldest team in college basketball, and all those guys I just named play legitimate minutes other than Jaheim Hudson, who got to get in the other day on Saturday a little bit. But
made some stuff happen.
That's what I'm talking about, is this team is so experienced, and they've come from all walks of life and from every school in America, it seems like. But they've come together, and just watching them on the basketball floor, man, I'm telling you, I've watched basketball going on 25 years of my life now, and to this point, this might be the best team I've ever seen play. Now, there's a lot of season left, and anything can happen. And by no means am I saying it is they're going to win the national championship and never lose a game again. But what they're doing to teams is unspeakable. As our texter said, it's illegal in most states and would be a war crime in other countries. I mean, it is a magical thing to watch. The confidence, the flow, and just the pure domination that Auburn is performing with right now. And they beat Ohio State 91-53. When we come back, I want to keep talking about Auburn. I also want to look around the SEC and look around what happened college basketball on Saturday for what may have been one of the best days we've had so far in this young season. Top 25 matchups everywhere. Upsets galore, and the SEC took care of business once again. We've got more college basketball talk coming up after this as we continue hour number two here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Well, while Auburn got a big win this weekend over Ohio State, Saturday, Uncle T-Bone, was one of the better days we've seen in college basketball. Probably the best month, or the best day in the month of December, but probably top three in just overall basketball so far this season. I mean, look at the games just in the top 25, okay? Tennessee goes on the road.
Heck of a game.
Look, I've talked a lot about Tennessee, and I've said that I don't believe they're the number one team in the country. And while Illinois isn't overly impressive to me, they played Tennessee down to the wire, and it took a running layup at the buzzer for Tennessee to win this thing. But a road win in the Big Ten is incredible, and give Tennessee a ton of credit. They're still the number one team as of today. Auburn is still the number two team in the country. That's a big win for Tennessee with the running layup by Ganey at the buzzer. Heck of a win.
I think if Auburn and Tennessee went head-to-head right now, obviously I'd have my money on Auburn.
I think Auburn wins that. If it's neutral site, get away from Neville, get away from Thompson
Auburn's
Bowling.
Some success up there in Thompson Bowling. It's not like Bruce Pearl's afraid of that place.
No, but everybody's afraid of Neville.
But I get you. Yeah.
I think Auburn's 8 to 10 points better than Tennessee.
I think they would take care of business right now, but you can't not respect the fact that Tennessee's undefeated, and that was a number one type earning win against Illinois in one heck of a basketball game. I called that Friday and said that was going to be a very difficult game for the Volunteers, and it looked like for a hot minute they were about to let it go, but they hung in there. Yeah, Illinois is a good basketball team. That's a team that Alabama took care of business against earlier in the year, too. And they're going to be a tournament team as well, Jacob.
Yeah, so Tennessee gets their second big win of the year. Of course, Auburn manhandles Ohio State. Kentucky had to fight with Louisville, who is getting better and better. But Kentucky's a really good team, man. They're a top five team in college basketball. Mark Pope was a great hire for them. They win 93-85 in his first big time, or I guess his first time coaching in that game against Louisville.
They hit a home run hiring him.
Yeah.
He's solid. I read an interesting article about him this weekend, Jacob, about I believe he was in medical school. at age 37 with a couple of kids and looking to move on with his life, but just could not get away from the itch of wanting to be a coach and took the chance of his lifetime walking away from medical school and being a doctor during that time. And his wife probably going, what are you thinking?
I didn't know he was in medical school.
And,
how about that?
And, I mean, he's a smart dude, and that was a good get for Kentucky. Alabama, number six, takes care of a salty Creighton team. They lost two last year and getting some revenge at home, 83-75. I did not have a chance to watch much of that game.
I did. I watched the majority of it, actually. I had it on with several other games. And, look, Alabama played well, but Creighton was like a cockroach, man. They just couldn't put him away. Alabama got up by double digits several times in this game and just could not put Creighton away. I mean, I think they were up by like 14 or 15 points right before half, and Creighton went on a run, made it six, and then Alabama pulled away. Creighton came back, pulled away, came back. I mean, that's a good win for Alabama in front of about 60% of their fans there at Coleman Coliseum. How about our Dayton Flyers, baby? Go, go, Dayton Flyers, 71-63. The Flyers get it done at UD Arena. They take down the sixth-ranked team of the country, Marquette. That's a massive win for Dayton, who I don't know how. In the newest AP poll, are they a top 25 team yet this week?
I'm looking through it right now. I don't see it.
They are. They're 22.
They're 22.
Thank goodness. They deserve it. Look at Dayton's resume. 9-2 overall this season. Their two losses are to North Carolina and Iowa State, but they've made up for those wins with over number two UConn and number six Marquette. That's a good Dayton team. They're a scrappy Dayton team, and they get a big win on their home floor over Marquette on Saturday.
It was from the Atlantic. Back to Mark Pope real quick. At 37 with four kids and his wife's blessing, Mark Pope dropped out of med school and took an assistant coaching job making $24,000 a year.
Would your wife have given you that blessing?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if Lady Val would have approved of that one. That is, but you know, now in the quote, he holds the keys to arguably the biggest job in college basketball. He's making a lot more than $24,000 a year right now. Let me tell you a team at number seven that may be underrated in the SEC, or the Florida Gators.
Yes.
10-0. And they dismantled Arizona State. That is a good basketball team, Jacob.
One of the, two teams in the SEC that's undefeated? Them and Oklahoma. Don't know where that came from, but Oklahoma's a good team. Oklahoma.
And Tennessee.
Tennessee is too, that's right. Oklahoma plays somebody big, I believe, tomorrow night. Who do they play? Oklahoma plays somebody big tonight, or maybe it's Wednesday night. Give me a second. They play Michigan, a top 25 matchup. Oklahoma and Michigan play on Wednesday night, so that'll be exciting.
OU now ranked 14th in the country. UConn, number 11 in the latest AP poll, takes care of business in Madison Square Arena in New York City.
That was a big win for them.
Against Gonzaga, that was a big win from them. But one of the bigger wins in the SEC this weekend is number 12, my man Buzz Williams and Wade Taylor IV, Texas A&M. The Aggies taking down Purdue, who Auburn will see this Saturday in Birmingham at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, Purdue has kind of cooled off a little bit. They beat Alabama in their first big win. They lost to that Marquette team. They beat Ole Miss. They lost to Penn State. And now they've lost to Texas A&M. They're still a good team, but I think Auburn's probably feeling a little bit better about this game going into this weekend. Couple of other results as we get to break before Jacob Hillman joins us. Memphis goes on the road and takes down a top 25 Clemson team, 87-82. Remember, that's a Memphis team Auburn made look silly in the Maui Invitational Championship.
Is that number 24 Michigan team? Am I reading this, that they lost to Arkansas this weekend, 89-87?
Michigan lost, yes.
Ooh, maybe that medicine's starting to take up there with Calipari and the Razorbacks.
All right, we got to get to break. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us next, talking all things Auburn athletics.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I am Jacob Goins, and we get to the phone lines as we welcome in Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, who is with us every Monday at this time. Hillman, we've got a lot to talk about, my friend. It's a good time to be an Auburn Tiger, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Happy to be with you guys again. I do want to start more on the somber note and just the tragic passing of Reverend Chet Williams and yesterday at Lake Martin, and send my prayers and my thoughts out to Brother Chet and his family, and may he rest in peace. I mean, he was a part of this Auburn football program since before I was alive, and that might go the same for you as well, Jacob. Mm-hmm. That is a big deal, and the Auburn family will miss him dearly.
Yeah, just horrible, horrible news that we were able to start the show with today, and showing our love and thoughts to him, and glad that you were able to do that as well. We're going to get to the football side of things in terms of the transfer portal coming up in just a little bit, but do want to flash back to what happened this weekend in Atlanta. Believe you were there. I was there. It seemed like a lot of Auburn fans were there at State Farm Arena on Saturday afternoon, where Auburn just, I mean, whatever vocabulary word you want to throw in there for beat Ohio State 91-53. One of the best performances I've seen all season long from any team in college basketball.
Yeah, it really was, and I think that this is starting to become a theme for Auburn. The offensive efficiency that this team continues to show, it shows in all the analytical ratings and everything that you could look at as far as statistical categories go. But I thought more impressively was the defensive effort from guys like Denver Jones and Miles Kelly, even Tahad Pettiford, to hold Michi Johnson and Bruce Thornton to 8 combined points. Those were the two guys you had to really focus in on and lock in on going into that game as the real playmakers for Ohio State. And that was not the case. They were held in check the entire game, only made 2 field goals combined. That is a really impressive showing by the Auburn guards. It's something that in previous years, I think many would have considered a weakness for the Auburn basketball team, but that's not the case this year. Denver Jones, Miles Kelly, especially on the defensive end, have shown great strides and are great defenders. And Tahad Pettiford, he's getting there as well. So it's very nice to see those three guys really take that by the horns and really take pride in their defense.
Jacob, there were some I was talking to Jacob here earlier about when you have 5 guys on the court, including Miles Kelly, along with Chad Baker-Mazar and the two big guys, and and Denver Jones, that it's one of the most athletic starting 5 or 5 on a court that I've ever seen in college basketball. There were a couple of rumors, though, and I hate to ask about rumors, but Miles Kelly, was there an injury in the game against Ohio State re-aggravating a previous wrist injury, or is that just all scuttlebutt on the rumor boards?
Yeah, I think Coach Pearl, he's mentioned a few times that, yeah, he's dealing with a little bit of a wrist injury, but it's nothing major. It's nothing to be concerned about. But, yeah, it's something to watch for, and it'll be interesting to see if he's limited at all or anything like that. That's something that remains to be seen. I think it's something they've got to take day to day. We'll find out more tomorrow for that Georgia State game, and then obviously on Saturday for the Purdue game. But I think overall, guys are where they need to be. It's the bumps and bruises of a long season. Auburn's played some really tough competition, had a really tough road stretch, or not necessarily road stretch, but they were away from home all the way from the beginning of Thanksgiving week towards the end of that week after Thanksgiving. So now they're going to get to come home and really start to rehab and get ready for the grueling SEC play, because this conference is not going to let up at all. This is the best conference in college basketball. It might be the best conference performance that we've ever seen, quite frankly. That's kind of been the national talk so far this year. You just look at all the numbers, and it's hard to deny that.
Well, you mentioned the Tigers coming back home. They'll take on Georgia State tomorrow night at 7 p.m. inside Neville Arena. That's a 4-6 Sun Belt team that's on a three-game losing streak. They've gone up against Mississippi State and Kentucky out of the SEC this year and been absolutely master blasted. Is there anything to watch for with the Panthers, and what really are we looking at as we move into the game against Purdue on Saturday?
Yeah, and I think I say this as obviously someone watching from the outside looking in. It's, you know, I can think this is the quad. This is one of two quad four games left for Auburn. That this and Monmouth on December 30th. Every other game, the rest on the schedule, the rest of the way is either a quad one game or a quad two game. There's only I think four of those quad two games. So a majority of the games you've got the rest of the season are quad one. And that means they are going to be difficult matchups. You're likely not going to win them all, and that's okay. We saw how tough of a matchup it was at Duke, and Auburn played really well there. That's going to be the same deal when you get into SEC play against these contenders like Tennessee, who's number one in the country, Kentucky, who's been, I consider a surprise being a consistently top 10 team this early in the season, and then obviously Florida and Alabama. And some other surprise teams. Oklahoma's undefeated. Ole Miss looks good. Georgia looks good. That it's going to be tough day in, day out in the SEC. So I look at tomorrow as an opportunity where we can think, yeah, Auburn's probably going to blow out Georgia State and win it pretty handily. How does Auburn handle that and get maybe some guys that haven't got as much playing time in recent games? Obviously, you're able to do that against Ohio State because you won by so much, winning by 38. Ja'Kai Howard gets nearly 13 minutes of action, and Jaheim Hudson gets 5 minutes. JT Pegues gets 8 minutes. So hopefully you get that opportunity again tomorrow, and those guys can continue to grow and become a larger part of the rotation.
The SEC on Saturday afternoon, a conference that had several ranked teams playing, Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, Alabama, Florida, A&M, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and a handful of others in action. The SEC went 13-1 on Saturday. The only loss was LSU, who lost by 10 to SMU. That's an LSU team that's 8-2, but the conference went 13-1 overall. I mean, you're talking about one of the best conferences in performances to this point in the season we've ever seen for the Southeastern Conference, and Auburn is right there near the top. We talk with Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. You look to that SEC start where Auburn has Missouri at home. They go to Texas in the midweek to get their second SEC game out of the way before they have at South Carolina and then Mississippi State. I mean, do you see Auburn being able to get off to a hot start, road game at Georgia, then the number one team in the country? I mean, maybe not the most difficult start, but definitely not easy.
Yeah. Nothing's going to be – that's the thing, is nothing's going to be easy in the SEC this season. But I do think it is a favorable start to the SEC schedule. I think that your toughest matchup is going to be that road game at Texas. They're going to be fired up to for their first SEC matchup at home. I think they go to Texas A&M to start SEC play, maybe Oklahoma. So their first home SEC game is going to be against Auburn. And Auburn, assuming they handle business these next four games against Georgia State, Purdue, Monmouth, and Missouri, has a chance to be a top two team in the country. So that's something that I think you have to look at as, all right, that atmosphere is going to play a factor. Texas is going to be ready. That crowd is going to be fired up. But then the rest of that January schedule until Tennessee on January 25th, you're either at home against Missouri or Mississippi State, or you're on the road at South Carolina and Georgia. Both those teams they're playing well at this point, but they are definitely lower on the expectation side before the season. So you hope you can get off to a hot start. Plus, before that Tennessee game, you have your open date. That's something that the SEC introduced last year, where you don't play during a midweek. So I think that that's a perfect time for it, especially before one of the biggest games of the year. And I think a hot start's critical. The end of the season is such a brutal stretch for Auburn that if you can start off January with a hot start, you're in great shape for February and March.
Jacob, pivoting back to the transfer portal in football, which is wide open across the country and almost impossible to keep up with. Auburn obviously losing some players, but adding some key personnel as well. This Saturday, Auburn apparently has its man at quarterback to replace two-year starter Peyton Thorne and Oklahoma quarterback Jackson Armour, former Oklahoma quarterback, now Auburn quarterback. Thoughts on him and thoughts on losing Walker White to the portal? And at the moment, with Deuce Knight, who had one whale of a game in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game, having just two quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, it's obviously exciting whenever you sign a former five-star like you do in Jackson Arnold, and you also have the true freshman coming in Deuce Knight, who's a five-star. And you know, I think Jackson Arnold, you look at him last season, and he was on and off as the starter. He started the season, but was benched for Michael Hawkins, who then got injured, and he had to come back in and play some more. Obviously, I think it's been talked about how Oklahoma was depleted with wide receiver injuries. They were starting walk-ons, and it was not the situation that any quarterback or any offensive staff wants to be in. But Oklahoma seemed to manage it all right, and they got to 500. They got to bowl eligibility. So I just think that that Jackson Arnold, it's possible that a change of scenery is what he needs. And it's obviously someone that Coach Freeze and this offensive staff targeted early on and locked in on, and they wanted him. So I think that's the most important thing is getting the guy you want, and him being committed and locked in as he is now. So yeah, as you stated, two quarterbacks on the roster at this point, that's obviously something that needs to change. And I expect that to change in the coming weeks. Deuce Knight, he's going to have plenty of time to shine and show his worth. So very, really excited for the quarterback room. Obviously, Jackson Arnold's still relatively young when it comes to college football. So, two guys that have a lot to prove.
It also helps when you bring in the top-rated offensive lineman in the portal, as well as Avery Chaplin, the Virginia Tech tackle. 6'7", 323, Hillman. That's pretty good size for an offensive lineman who gave up just a couple of sacks and 300 passing plays this season. You look at him coming in. Auburn's also added a couple of defensive players as well, with Rayon Strader from Miami of Ohio today. Also, Tay Seymour, the Georgia Tech safety. And even on the offensive side again with Darrell Robinson, in the UConn running back.
Yeah, no, it's I like the way things have transpired for Auburn so far. You feel a key piece on the offensive line as well as a playmaker in the backfield, but then so far the rest of the focus has been on the defense, and I think that offensive line is obviously the most important piece of this puzzle, where you need to make sure that is as locked in as necessary for whoever the starting quarterback is next year. Is you know, we anticipate Jackson Arnold will likely get the nod as he's the more experienced guy, but you really never know until the spring goes by. So regardless of who it is, you just want to make sure you have the best offensive line in front of him. And I think that interior is looking more and more like it's going to be the offensive linemen that grow with this program. You know, Connor Liu, Braden Joyner, Jeremiah Wright, they've all gotten plenty of experience. And those are guys that have been at Auburn their entire careers. So that's what I am looking forward to in this spring portion of football season. And then hopefully when we get to August 30th at Baylor, then that offensive line is set to go. But, yeah, I just think that this transfer portal so far has gone the way Auburn has wanted it to. And there's still plenty more of action to go. So don't sleep on it. It's a constant grind for this coaching staff.
Well, while there's a lot going on in the transfer portal for Auburn football, of course, Auburn men's basketball will be back in action tomorrow. Let the people know what the broadcast schedule is for the next week or so. No show next Monday, so we won't talk to you for a couple of weeks. So kind of let the people know what's going on in terms of the Auburn Sports Network with Tiger Talk, basketball, everything like that.
Yep, we'll also be off from Tiger Talk until the turn of the new year. That first show will be inside Neville Arena as women's basketball will be hosting a game. I think their SEC opener for that one. So we'll be back with Tiger Talk at the turn of the new year. But until then, there's plenty of other action going on. Men's basketball against Georgia State, tomorrow at 7 Central. That game will start with air at 6:30 on Wings 94.3 FM. Women's basketball goes to Louisiana on Wednesday. That's an 11 a.m. tip, so a little lunch break for you with Britt Bowen as women's basketball looks to build a little bit of a winning streak after a 10-day break. They had 8 available players against UAB last Sunday. Soraya Daniels played really well, earned SEC Freshman of the Week. So looking to continue that into the Christmas break. And then they'll come back home to host Alabama State on Saturday at noon Central. So plenty going on. And then men's basketball also will host – or not host Purdue, but might as well host Purdue in
Birmingham.
Might as well.
That's right.
It'll be an Auburn-heavy crowd at the BJCC. So I'll be on the call with Andy Burksham and Randall Dickey beginning at 3 o'clock for that 3:30 tip-off. Also, I want to fail to mention, Talking Tigers podcast, James Armstrong, the new Auburn soccer coach with Andy Burksham. Tune in wherever you get your podcast on the War Eagle Plus Auburn Sports Network podcast network for that conversation.
Awesome. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, we appreciate you and your time, my friend. Again, no show next week, and so I'll text you and we'll get together on the next time we'll have you back on the air. But until then, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you, my friend.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas, War Eagle, and Happy New Year.
Yep, appreciate it. That is Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Be sure to check him out and everything they have going on with the Auburn Sports Network. We're back after this to wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us, and we were just talking about quarterbacks with him, Uncle T, and
yeah.
We've been waiting on this. I mean, we literally for over a week, we've been waiting on this to come to fruition, and it is official. Auburn not only has picked up one quarterback in the transfer portal with Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma, Auburn has decided and is getting the commitment of another Stanford quarterback transfer, Ashton Daniels. It's official. He will be an Auburn Tiger. He threw for nearly 4,000 yards and 21 touchdowns during his time at Stanford, graduating in three. This is from Brian Matthews on Twitter. It says, graduating in 3 years this spring and plans to enroll at Auburn this summer. Again, Ashton Daniels, breaking news. Auburn's second quarterback in the transfer portal from Stanford is now an Auburn Tiger.
So you got three quarterbacks on the roster heading into the spring. Deuce Knight, the talented young man out of Mississippi, Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma, and Ashton Daniels, who played a good bit at Stanford. You know, he's going to compete and push, but by all accounts, probably Jackson Arnold being your starter, Deuce Knight, third stringer. That Hugh Freeze has always said that he wants to carry four quarterbacks. Why not go over to Auburn High and get the Kilgore kid to be at least a preferred walk-on?
Jackson,
With the possibility of earning a scholarship and having him as your fourth guy. I mean, I've seen the kid play. You've seen him play a lot more than me. And give the kid a shot to be, you know, your fourth guy and run your scout team. And, you know, from what I've seen, he's just as good as Holden was.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing I think I would be thinking about right now instead of looking at some other person in the portal.
Ashton Daniels, 6'3", 215. Again, threw for nearly 4,000 yards, 21 touchdowns in his time at Stanford. Has 1 year of eligibility with a redshirt option as well. What I like about this, and we'll talk more about this on the show tomorrow with Christian Griffin, but what I like about this, you bring in Ashton Daniels, and while, yes, he is probably considered the backup and may just be coming here to have reps at a Power 4 school, I look at this as Auburn has a true quarterback battle now. Like, yeah, Jackson Arnold's probably the favorite, but he's not going to walk in and just be handed the job.
Right.
He's not going to walk in and just say, okay, QB1, just go through the reps. You've got it. You're good. You're it. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have a legitimate quarterback battle with two guys that have played legit Power 4 football and one of the highest-rated recruits in quarterback history at Auburn. Like, you have three dudes right now, and I don't think Auburn's done, to where you have a battle now. And you can, and everybody will have different predictions. You'll have people that think Arnold's the favorite, Daniels is the favorite, Knight's the favorite, and it could be a surprise. And I think that's what makes this exciting.
Get warmed up, Spectre. They may even bring Robbie back, and we'll just have a full-blown melee. No, I mean, listen, they didn't. You know, there wasn't a quarterback battle this past year.
No.
I think it showed.
Yeah. Auburn hasn't had a competitive quarterback room.
You know, there was a battle in Hugh Freeze's first year, and Robbie Astor was beaten out by Peyton Thorne. But, man, you know, iron sharpens iron. You got to compete for it every day. At least that's how it used to be.
And I like, again, I like the fact that with all three of these guys right now, Deuce, Jackson, and Ashton, if any of them comes in and wins the job, then they won the job. And they deserve the job, and you should feel confident about that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, yeah, like it was a year ago, or even when Peyton Thorne transferred, it was, all right, he's QB1. Like,
yeah,
you went and got him for a reason because you had to have him. You went and just got three dudes, two transfers, and a high school recruit, and it's wide open.
Well, I tell you what if Deuce Knight comes in and is better than both of them?
Then good, let him start. Remember the last time Auburn started a true freshman at quarterback? I do.
Kenny Dillingham was our offensive coordinator.
Dilly Dilly.
Now he's in the college football playoffs, the head coach of Arizona State.
Boom. All right, more on that coming up tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Christian Griffin will be in here with me. 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.